Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off on your next order.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
A Monday edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. Great show today to start off the week. It is the quarter point of the season. We are 20 games in. Steve Kerr, before training camp in November, basically said, hey, I want to go 20 games before I really make any conclusions about this roster. And I want to make some of those conclusions now. But first, before I get to that, I just want to say thank you to every one of you that is listening right now. Because last week, that was the third biggest week ever in Locked On Warriors history. Not during free agency, not during the draft, not during the playoffs when we expect those sort of weeks. Just in the middle of the season, you guys downloaded, you guys listened, you guys subscribed. So thank you to everybody. The show is doing really, really well. I am sure so many of you are new to the show. If you are, thank you. I am sure so many of you also have been listening to this show for a long time. I have been handling this podcast for about a year now, and everybody who is here before, since, and is here now, thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe, please download, please rate and review as we keep this thing going. Really exciting stuff happening in the future with this podcast. You may have read a little bit of what's happening with the Locked On Podcast Network online. Just really, really exciting stuff happening with the network and with this podcast coming up. So with all of that, I do want to talk about where the Warriors are now, 20 games into the season. I don't even want to talk about the record, none of that stuff. Look, the Warriors are right there in the thick of the Western Conference playoffs. They are among the jumble of teams in the West that are competing for anywhere between the fourth seed and the 11th spot in the conference. So they're going to be right there all season long. I mean, that is where the Warriors are going to be, people. Between now and the end of this thing, the priority, I suppose, would just be trying to leapfrog the play-in tournament. Get a sixth or better seed in the Western Conference, and you can leapfrog the play-in tournament. But I don't know that this Warriors team is there yet. To me, there's pretty much a clear top group in the Western Conference. It's the Lakers. It's the Clippers. It looks like Denver and Utah. That, to me, is your top four. Anything after that, it's anybody's game. It's anybody's game. Portland, I thought they would fall off after the CJ McCollum injury. They really haven't. And the Warriors just keep finding ways to float a couple of games over 500, which is good. If they could put together a little streak here, like Draymond Green said, or I think actually it was Steph Curry, excuse me. You put together a 3 or 4 game winning streak, all of a sudden, you could really solidify yourself in this conference because of how close it is with that kind of middle tier. All this to say that the regular season feels like it has really started now. Every team is about a quarter away through their season. There is going to be 36 games in this first part of the season, and there'll be 36 games in the second part of the season that'll come out at the end of March, or that will start at the end of March. It feels like this is really, like we have hit the real strides of the regular season right now, not just with the Warriors, but throughout the league. It feels like we are starting to kind of see the picture for what it is that the season is going to be. I mentioned the teams that are bunched up in the West. What's also starting to kind of come into frame here is the MVP race. And that is something I thought Steph Curry was going to be a part of. And right now it doesn't feel like he is anymore. After that 62-point game, he kind of put himself into that conversation. Really hasn't been a part of that conversation much since then. Look, he's doing what he is, what he's doing. He's one of the top five scorers in the league, but the Warriors just aren't good enough to be to have an MVP contender right now. Right now, that group is basically LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Luka Doncic, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic. That's sort of your top five as far as the MVP race is concerned. Now, Steph could get in there if the Warriors could put together something. A long winning, like he's not out of it, but right now, as we speak, as we sit here right now, he's not really in that conversation. Now, Draymond Green, he's starting to find his stride. He had maybe one of his best games of the season Saturday night against the Pistons. A blowout win for the Warriors. Maybe their back-to-back, wire-to-wire best performance of the season. They have put together a couple of important and impressive wins over the last week or so. Draymond Green is starting to get into playing shape, but he said even he's probably 2 or 3 weeks away from being in peak playing condition. And what I wrote for MercuryNews.com, I did a quarter review, kind of hitting on some of the topics that I'm talking to you about now. And one of the things that I saw was he's only had one dunk to that point. I wrote that on Friday. The Pistons game was on Saturday. He had a dunk in that Pistons game in the first quarter. But before then, he only had one dunk all season, and he was averaging 0.1 blocks per game, basically nothing. Those are indicators of waning athleticism, and that's troubling if you're the Warriors, because you need Draymond Green to be the best defender on that team, and you really need him to be a little bit more productive than he was during the Kevin Durant years, because you don't have Kevin Durant. Klay Thompson's out. You need him to put some production together. He can't just be this game manager. There needs to be something there in the box score. At the end of the day, you need to put points on the board and you need to stop the other team. But in that Pistons game, he had a dunk in the first quarter. According to him, it was his first dunk off of 1 foot during the season so far. And he thinks he's about 2 or 3 weeks away from really hitting his peak playoff or playing shape. If that's true, and if he could get to that point and be at that level, 2 or 3 weeks away, that sounds like it's the second half of the season that you can expect peak Draymond. If that's true, and by the way, missed all of training camp, missed all of preseason, not just with a positive coronavirus test, but because of a foot issue too. So it makes sense why he would not be starting the season in top condition. It makes sense. But if that's true, if he can hit that peak game shape, midseason form, by midseason, and it is something so much better than what it is that we have seen so far through the start of the season, that is a dramatic development for this Warriors team. Dramatic. Because he goes from somebody who is a coach on the floor to all of a sudden maybe being a little bit more of a productive player, where you can't really expect any points from him now. Maybe you could expect 8 to 10 points per game from him later. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it is in the aggregate. Because the other part of what the Warriors do, and everything is all about Steph Curry, I understand that this team goes as he goes. But the Warriors have their most success when he is getting help from other players. One stat that I dug out, this team has lost just one game all year. They are, I believe, 9-1 now when Steph Curry's teammates score 85 or more points combined. Now, the stat that you see on the broadcast all the time is, hey, this team is great when Steph Curry scores 30. That's true. But they're also 2-2 when he scores less than 20. They're a 500 team when he scores less than 20. This team goes as a supporting cast goes because you know what you're getting from Steph every night for the most part. You're getting 27 to 30 points a night from Steph Curry. You're getting 17 to 20 points a night from Andrew Wiggins. That's the player I want to talk about next, Andrew Wiggins, because to me, he is the key. Not even Draymond Green necessarily. Not really even James Wiseman. To me, it's Andrew Wiggins. That's the key to what this team can do going forward. But first, let's talk about 10-10. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times, in Style Magazine, or in Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 10-10 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring. They're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com, and when they're gone, they are gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 10-10, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're ready to mark a special commitment or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this is exciting. Limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings is now available exclusively at BlueNile.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts the Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. I want to talk about Andrew Wiggins because what you can expect from him, he has become such a reliable and stable player for this Warriors team. And I know it is a small sample compared to the rest of his career. 5+ seasons in Minnesota, about, you know, 20 games in Golden State this year. And in these 20 games, though, he has settled into a supporting role. He is attacking a scrambling defense that is reacting to Steph Curry and not to him. He is cutting. He is hitting open shots at a career-best rate of 40% from three-point range. He is blocking shots on defense with numbers that are like a center. He is leading the league in blocks per game for every player that is not a center in the NBA. It's not just the blocks. He's defending top wing players at an elite level right now. Now, we'll see if this is sustainable at that rate. We'll see if he can continue to shoot at 40% from three-point range, if he can continue to lead the leagues in blocks among non-centers, if he can continue to defend one-on-one wing players at an elite all-defensive team level. We will see about that. But one thing I know is that this role is better for Andrew Wiggins, and that the Warriors should be doing everything that they can in order to maximize Wiggins' performance in that role. Now, we could talk about trying to get more out of Kelly Oubre or guys like, I don't know, Michael Mulder, James Wiseman's development, all of these things. We could talk about it all day long. That is the loud stuff that tends to grab headlines. It tends to dominate the Twitter conversation. You know what's not? It's just Andrew Wiggins playing really well. But I think that there's room for more there. I don't mean to be greedy, but I think there is room for more there. 17 to 20 points per game efficiently. He's, behind Steph, the most efficient scorer on this Warriors roster, and he's not all that far behind Steph as far as the metrics. Give him the ball more. Empower him more. Get more from Andrew Wiggins, because if you could go, I want to go back to that stat that I told you about in the first segment. This team is 9-1 in which they are getting 85 or more points combined from non-Steph Curry Warriors players. If Andrew Wiggins can consistently account for 20 to 25 of those points, that is putting you at a really good spot. That is giving you a leg up. That is giving you a head start to getting to that 85-point threshold. They need to get him the ball more. I can't believe I'm saying this. It's Andrew Wiggins that we're talking about. And I think Draymond Green playing more of a point forward role, like we saw in Detroit. Steve Kerr said, Draymond Green said, this Warriors group is best when that is what Draymond Green is doing. Because when he's not doing that, he's not doing anything. He is not a scorer. He is not a floor spacer. You need him running the offense as a point forward. When he's doing that, this team is clearly at its best. Clearly at its best. When he's also doing that, you're getting guys like Steph Curry and Andrew Wiggins involved more. A little bit more of an even distribution. You're not asking Steph Curry to bring the ball up and step back into 30-footers every possession. So all of this is sorting, you're starting to see the picture of what it is that this Warriors team can be and should be. Draymond Green is the point forward. Steph Curry is running off the ball and doing all these Steph Curry things. They're splitting the distribution of running the offense 50-50, more balanced attack from that point of view. And Andrew Wiggins is scoring 20 points per game. Right now, it's about 17 points a game. You need him to score 20 to 25, I think, for this team to really take that next step. Kelly Oubre, you're going to kind of just get what you get from him right now. Maybe you could work out a trade down the line. James Wiseman, the development will continue, but you can't really count on him for anything. That's unfair to him and his development. Kevon Looney is going to be solid, but unspectacular in that starting group. And then you've got this mix of role players coming off the bench. You're going to need double digits from Eric Paschal every night. You're going to need 10 to 13, 14 points from him every night. You're going to need to. He's going to anchor that second unit. Has to. Damian Lee, Brad Wanamaker, Kent Bazemore, if you can get one of those guys to score, you know, 8 points, that helps. And that's what we're talking about. That's really what this Warriors roster comes down to. But you need the reliable guys to be reliable and produce at a certain level every night. That includes Steph, 27 to 30 points per game. And right now that's Wiggins, 17 to 20 points per game. But that needs to probably get up to 20 to 25 points per game for this Warriors team to really take the next step, string together a few wins here, and solidify themselves as a playoff team. Because if they don't get that, if they don't get that sort of production, then they're going to be right back. They're just going to be what they are right now. A little inconsistent. Two wins here, two wins there. A win here, a loss there. 500. But you're not going to avoid the play-in tournament at 500. You're not. So to take that next step, they need one of their players to take that next step. And I think right now you double down on what it is that Andrew Wiggins has been able to do. I want to get to a mailbag question that we had a listener sent in. But first, let's talk about Bet Online. The Super Bowl is around the corner. The NBA season is in full swing. And there's only one place that has you covered. One place I trust. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. That's half of your money back off your initial deposit. You're getting 50% of that money for free. That's free money to win more money with. You can't beat that. I mentioned the Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs are right now 3-point favorites over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've got that. You could bet on the money line. You could bet on the over-under, which I think last time I checked was at 56.5 points total. And then, of course, you've got all the great Super Bowl prop bets to feed your entertainment needs on Super Bowl Sunday. The NBA season. You're listening to a podcast like this or other NBA podcasts, you probably know more than the average person. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Let's also talk about Built Bar. I have been talking about Built Bar for, it seems like, 2 years now. It's probably been about a year. I think they came on to the show, started sponsoring the network right at the beginning of the pandemic, I believe, and they have sent me a few boxes of this stuff for free, and I've gotten through it so quickly that I've actually go out and just buy my own box of Built Bars. Right now, as I sit here, I've got my backpack right next to me. I take it everywhere I go, and always in that front pocket is one or two Built Bars because I never know when I'm going to get hungry, and I'm the kind of person who, when I'm hungry, I cannot focus on work. I can't do anything else. I have to eat and satisfy that need right now before I move on with my day. That's what makes Built Bars so perfect, with 18 amazing flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp. They are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They are great for health-conscious men and women everywhere, whether or not you want to lose weight or, like me, maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Built Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great if you're starting a keto diet in 2021. These bars are perfect. I've tried a lot of protein bars. Trust me, a lot of protein bars. These are by far the best tasting and the best for me. So use that promo code Locked On. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use that promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off on your next order. Again, use the promo code Locked On for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. On the Rejecting the Screen podcast feed right now, hosts Adam Stanko and Noah Kozlov are honoring Kobe Bryant's life and career with a two-part special podcast event. Hear stories you haven't heard anywhere else about Kobe from teammates, opponents, coaches, and journalists. Get both parts by subscribing to the Rejecting the Screen podcast feed after this podcast. Let's get to the mailbag. These questions come from Steve Laporta, who writes in two questions. The first one. As you know, Jordan Poole is heading to Orlando to take part in the Warriors G League team. Do you think that the brass considered sending Michael Mulder instead of Poole? And if not, why? No, I don't think that this team really considered sending Michael Mulder to the G League. The problem is, within this bubble, it is going to be such a process to get in and out of this G League bubble, right? You're going to have to quarantine on both ends of that. It's going to be this long process that's going to be difficult and complicated, and it's just not going to be as easy as calling up somebody from the G League like it was in past seasons where, hey, we need this guy tonight. Let him drive up from Santa Cruz to San Francisco. Boom, we've got him. He's on the active roster. It's not going to be the case anymore. With a guy like Jordan Poole, they have played him. They've given him a chance. They've given him a chance in the rotation so far this season, and it's pretty clear he needs more consistent minutes to continue to develop. 28th pick in the draft last year. He's 21 years old. Needs more time to develop. Michael Mulder, he's 26, 27 years old. People forget this, but he's been around, right? He kind of is what he is. Not to say that there's not a ceiling that he could hit that's higher than what he is right now, but he kind of is what he is. You kind of know what you're getting out of Michael Mulder. And that's what I think is so valuable to the Warriors, is what you know you're getting from him. He's your three-point specialist. And so there is going to be nights where the Warriors are just, they just can't make a shot. They need some floor spacing. And Steve Kerr is going to look down the bench and he's going, you know what, Michael Mulder, get in there. You're getting 20 minutes tonight. There's going to be games where this happens, where they just need some floor spacing. Jordan Poole is not a floor spacer. He was sort of billed as such coming out of college, but he's never really been a great three-point shooter, not even at Michigan. Michael Mulder is a great three-point shooter. He's a very good three-point shooter. I think he needs to be a little bit more aggressive with his shot. If he's got even a little bit of space coming off of a screen, he needs to go ahead and shoot that thing and not be so deferential to Steph Curry and other teammates. He needs to shoot that thing. I think we might begin to see that a little bit more. But that's why he's there, because there's maybe, you know, you face an injury or something like that to these other guards, whatever, but it's not going to be so easy when, hey, you're in need of a three-point specialist, let's just let Michael Mulder drive up from Santa Cruz to San Francisco anymore. No. You're going to just need him on the bench right now. And plus, it's kind of one or the other. Jordan Poole and Michael Mulder have been sort of swapping roles in that rotation as that 11th guy all season long. If you send both of them to the G League, you don't have anybody in that spot. You could just shorten the rotation to 10 guys. Maybe they should do that, but you want one of those guys there anyway for depth. So you keep Michael Mulder, the more, you know, sort of known quantity. You send Jordan Poole, who would benefit more from that extra playing time and that development. So that would be the reason why. Second question from Steve. I watch all of the Warriors television broadcasts and listen to a fair amount of 95.7 The Game at various times of the day. In my experience, when the future of the Warriors is being discussed by hosts or guests, the name of Marquese Chriss is seldom brought up. Obviously, he's not as important as Klay, and some might say that he's not as important as their draft choices, but he is a significant piece. I think he gets forgotten by many folks. I know he was on the telecast during the week, though. Last year, he was one of the most improved players in the league. The Warriors certainly could use him this year. I agree. I think Marquese Chriss could have a long-term spot on and with the Warriors. The sort of wrench in the whole thing is that his contract is up after this season. He becomes a free agent this summer. And it's unclear whether or not the Warriors would like to re-sign him. That's why the leg injury for him was so devastating. It's because this is a contract year for him. This is an opportunity for him to cement his place in the Warriors' long-term plans or, you know, earn a bigger payday somewhere else in the league. This is a big thing for him professionally in his career and in his life. So this is a really tough blow for Marquese. It really is. And he's, to Steve's point, made significant improvements since he was a training camp invite last year for the Warriors and now. That said, you look at how this Warriors roster sort of breaks out going forward. You've got James Wiseman. He's your long-term starting center. Kevon Looney is under contract for another year after this one. Eric Paschal. He's got a future on this team. I don't know if that future is always going to be small ball center. We'll see. I think part of the season is answering that question. Can he hold up at 6'6"? He is huge. He is strong. He is fit. But he's still 6'6". Can he hold up battling other centers for the balance of the season? That, to me, is a big question. The Warriors could just decide, listen, we want to just kind of settle this center rotation going forward. We don't want to do this mix and match thing every year anymore like we did in the Dynasty. Let's just do, you know, maybe it's just Wiseman, Looney, Marquese Chriss, Eric Paschal, who could play a little bit of four and a little bit of five for you, kind of a tweener. If that's the case, then I think Marquese Chriss could have an impact. But the reason why it's not being brought up enough or a lot, I should say, is because it is so iffy. His future with this team is so much in question. You know Klay Thompson is going to be on the roster next year. You know James Wiseman is going to be on this roster for the foreseeable future. You don't know if Marquese Chriss is going to be part of the roster. And we don't really have a way to judge it because he's not playing. You can't really have a conversation about, hey, he's playing like this, so the Warriors should sign him to this. You can't have that conversation because he's not playing. So it's just tough. It's tough to talk about. And honestly, it's not all that exciting to talk about because he's not playing. So that's why I would imagine he's not coming up a lot. But to Steve's point, it is something that the Warriors need to be thinking about. And as they judge the rest of this roster going forward, that's how they should, you know, make that decision on Marquese Chriss. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Thank you for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning.